Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on John 12. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Mary and the worship and devotion she brought to you. We pray as we come to you today that you would bless us, encourage us, help us, guide us through the gift of your word, which we meditate on now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last weekend, we attended a family lunch in the Riverland in honour of my grandmother, Judy, who turned 90 years old. It's a great joy and a privilege to be able to be there to celebrate with her. It's not every day you get invited to a 90th birthday. And Grandma's doing pretty well for 90, although she did get a bit tired as the day wore on. But in today's gospel reading, we hear about a meal being held in someone else's honour, in Jesus' honour. And the venue is not Rustin's Rose Garden in Renmark, although it's a nice venue if you're ever up that way, but a little town called Bethany on the outskirts of Jerusalem, which is famous in the Bible for being the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. The way this account is recorded in John, it comes very shortly after the raising of Lazarus. So we're probably supposed to see that the meal being held in his honour is especially to celebrate and mark and honour him for this miracle that he's done among them, the raising of Lazarus. Now, what happens at the meal is pretty well known, but I want to come at it today from the angle of the three main people involved and their attitudes and their actions and what we can learn from them. So firstly, Mary's devotion. Secondly, Judas' derision. And thirdly, Jesus' defence. So, firstly, Mary's devotion. The first thing we're told that as the dinner is progressing, we hear that Martha is serving, which is very typical of Martha. She's always hard at work. We hear that Lazarus is reclining at the table with Jesus. He's had a pretty long week. And we hear that Mary takes this pint of pure nard, this expensive perfume, and pours it on Jesus' feet, wiping it with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. First thing for us to see is that the whole thing is really quite scandalous in many ways. It was scandalous even to wash someone's feet in public. Even a Roman slave wouldn't be expected to do that. It was considered such a lowly, lowly task. Secondly, for a woman to have her hair down in public was just not done. That was scandalous, still is in many ancient or many Near Eastern cultures even today. And thirdly, to take your family's, you know, probably most treasured, precious heirloom, something that represents perhaps the family's inheritance, and to pour it out in one go is scandalous. It's a scandalous scene that we have here. On the surface, you could think it's something quite similar to the prodigal son last week, where this young boy takes his family's inheritance and goes off and blows it. Well, she's actually doing something similar, taking this very valuable thing that her family owns and pouring it out in one go. We learn later that the perfume is worth a year's wages. A year's wages. When was the last time you went along to a birthday or a celebration and took along a gift that was equivalent to a year's wages? Probably a while. Maybe not ever. I don't think I ever have. It's like giving someone a car, a new car as a gift. Something in that vicinity. Mary just pours this out liberally and lovingly and lavishly onto Jesus' feet and proceeds to dry them with her hair. It's an act of deep humility. It's an act of deep devotion. And so actually it's very different from the prodigal son, because whereas he wanted to spend the family's inheritance on himself, she wants to spend it on Jesus. Mary's devotion, among other things, is a great example to us. An example of giving without counting the cost. An example of pouring out ourselves for God and for others. An example of laying down everything we have at his feet. An example of being unashamedly Christ-centered and Christ-focused in our lives. Worshipful, faithful, humble, loyal. And importantly, without constant concern for what the people around us think and what they might say and how they might react. Mary is an example of all that. It says in the old hymn, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Mary sees Jesus for who he is, what he is. She honors him. She acknowledges him and everything he's already done for her in the raising of her brother. But also she has this sense of everything that he is still about to do for her and for all of us on the cross. This gift wasn't extravagant to her. It wasn't lavish to her. It was simply a token. It was a small gesture of response to his incredible grace in her life. Enter Judas. And Judas can, you know, if he's not seated right there around the table seeing what's going on, he can smell what's going on and he thinks this stinks. He doesn't like it at all. And the reason he gives is, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's a perfectly logical question. It's a highly rational question to bring to this sort of occasion. But we're told that it comes from a place of greed and thievery and dishonesty and all these sorts of things. Now, a lot of work has been done in fairly recent years at kind of redeeming Judas and painting him in a more positive way. And there's some good work there and there's some truth in it. But we get a pretty clear insight into his character today. And this greed and this dishonesty that drives him and motivates him. And I think about what sets us off. What makes us snap back at people or lash out at people? Doesn't it say more about us than it does about them? If you follow news out of Hollywood, especially last week, you know, the big news item was Will Smith at the Academy Awards, lashing out, snapping back at Chris Rock for a comment, joke he made about Will Smith's wife. I think it was a bad joke. It was also a bad reaction. What does it say about people? The way we react to things, the way we snap back, lash out at people. What does it say about what drives us, what motivates us, what's on our hearts? Because we tend to think, we're well-intentioned, we're trying to do the right thing. And that's exactly what Judas suggests he's doing. And so we always have to be questioning our own motives, our own hearts. Are they that different? Judas, Will Smith, Chris Rock, you, me. And we have the same hearts. The same hearts of stone that need to be constantly broken and softened, lest we head down the same path. Judas acts with, great derision and disdain towards Mary and really shames her very publicly. And we could ask, did Judas really care about the poor? Because the biblical evidence would suggest, no, he didn't really care a great deal about the poor. He cared a great deal about himself. He says that he cares about the poor, and you might think, yeah, okay, but there's one poor person right there among you. Forget the 99 sheep out in the pasture. There's one lost sheep right here. Do you care about her? And there's always that danger that we think about the masses, and the huge work that needs to be done, or the huge number of poor, or the huge number of whoever it is that needs our help, and we forget that there's one of them right there. There's one person right in our path. There's one person right in our home or right in our circle that needs our care, needs our help, needs our support. Now, Jesus' promise to us is that when we put ourselves at his feet, when we honor him, he will show us how to honor others. And the great irony is that more good has been done for the poor in the name of Christ than in the name of charity and philanthropy, and GoFundMe pages, and everything else put together. That's the irony. That throughout history, if you withdrew from the world all of the Christians and the Christian impulse and all of that giving and kindness and love for people that is done out of a Christian basis and a Christian heart, I'd hate to think what would happen in the world. That's the irony. Is that we give our lives firstly to Christ, and then he flips us around and says, now, pour it out for them. But First things first. So that brings us to Jesus and his defense of Mary. "Leave her alone," he says. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Leave her alone, Judas. You know, get off her back. Stop hassling her. Stop bugging her. Let her do what she's doing. Jesus rushes to the defense of his one lost sheep. Why? Well, partly because she sees something that none of them do, or she senses something that none of them do, and that is that the time is drawing near. The hour is coming. Jesus will be with them only a little longer in the flesh. His time is almost there. You see, he's already dying. The perfume was meant for his burial, and he's already dying. He's already partway there. And he's dying for the devoted, and he's dying for the deriding. He's dying for all of them, and he's dying for all of us. But the point is that she sees it. She senses it. They'll have countless opportunities, just as we have countless opportunities, to care for the poor and to serve them, and we should. But without a heart that's centered on Christ, without a wellspring of love and compassion, it just doesn't work. We run dry. We need to be receivers if we're also going to be givers. What a comfort to know that Jesus rushes to our defense. You know, what a comfort to know that Jesus appreciates our acts of devotion so much that if anyone tries to deride us or show disdain for us, he won't let them off the hook. Not with a good conscience, anyway. So much does he care for those who bring their devotion to him. He steps in. He puts himself in the firing line. It's like he says to Judas, you know, if you want to mess with her, you're going to have to mess with me. And that's the attitude that carries him all the way to the cross, where he dies for us, for all of us. Jesus is the guest of honor at this meal. But what does he do with his honor? He uses it to honor her. And he uses it to honor us. And he uses it to invite us ultimately to his feast, where he's going to make us the guests of honor for all time. With a whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, make us more and more Mary-like, willing to give ourselves, our whole selves to you and all we have and all we are, knowing that that isn't some extravagant gift, that's just a token of all that you have done for us. Lord, help us to pour ourselves out, not just for you, but for others, and remind us and center us on the fact that you have poured yourself out for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.